Now that's it. Oh, we grooving now. This Place Hotel, aka Heartbreak Hotel, the Jacksons. It's from a Triumph album. All right. Hey, welcome back. And ladies and gentlemen, hey, we had a couple of jams there. Burn This Disco Out and This Place Hotel, a.k.a. Heartbreak Hotel. Hey, Professor, I was looking at the entire list that you sent over, right?
Right.
And I said, I see This Place Hotel. I didn't read the entire thing, right? I said, okay, let me put on Heartbreak Hotel. I was going to slip one in on you, but
right.
Guess what? I've always thought that was Heartbreak Hotel. I thought that was the title of the song.
It was the original
title
of the song. CBS Epic, and this is a common practice by record companies, they changed the title because they were afraid that the public would confuse it with Elvis's Heartbreak Hotel.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks for that. Thanks for that clarification.
Sure.
So give us a little bit now.
Yeah.
World class. Well known. The greatest performer,
yes,
in my opinion, ever.
Yes.
What is it that we don't know about Michael Jackson?
Yeah, really. And it's so interesting now that it is 13 years after his passing. It seems like every now and again, there's more things that we are discovering and finding out. Why this week for Thriller 40? Well, last week, I think it was last week, a week and a half ago, the album, the reissue album entitled Thriller 40 was released by both the Michael Jackson estate and by CBS Epic, because Wednesday, it is Monday, of course, this is Monday Night Madness, Monday, November 28th, but Wednesday of this week, November 30th, will mark the 40th anniversary that an album was released. It was anticipated by fans as, you know, the latest installment after the big solo success of Off the Wall 3 years later. Mm-hmm. 3 years earlier. No one knew what was going to happen. Now, the previous month in late October, there was a single that was released called The Girl Is Mine, which was a duet between Jackson and former Beatle Paul McCartney. And it was kind of interesting because in the early 80s, this was the time when I think Paul McCartney wanted to have some hits, but he wanted to cross over into black music. The previous year, he worked with Stevie Wonder with Ebony and Ivory. He was doing sort of a double concept album. One album was called Tug of War, which was released in 82, which with two songs with Wonder, What's That You're Doing, mm-hmm, and Ebony and Ivory. And then the following year, Pipes of Peace. Do you see the thing here? Tug of War, Pipes of Peace, War, Peace, that kind of thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And on Pipes of Peace, there were two songs with Jackson, Say, and The Man. Now, the whole thing with Jackson and McCartney, it really goes all the way back to 1977, but we don't have time to go all the way back there with that. So, we have that released. A lot of people didn't like it. This was a time when the idea of, you know, interracial duets in pop music, it was still kind of a very difficult thing to swallow. It was not commonplace as it is today. But it generated enough interest for this record, you know. And I got mine. I didn't get mine on the 30th. I got it on December 1st. I still have it. God, I wish if I knew what was going to happen for that campaign, I would have taken much better care of that. And then I had to go out, I think in 84, and get another one. You heard me talk about this with Anita Baker with Rapture. But you see, the second copy of Rapture I played, the second copy of Thriller I did not play. It's still in its original cellophane. Okay. But, I tell you, Black America, we didn't have a Beatlemania. For 2 years, this man was the only thing you heard on the radio. And to also see him break the color barrier with the segregation of radio at that time, it was just incredible. It was such an incredible time, 1983, 1984. And we will never see that, again. Just like boomers will never see, again, what happened from 1963 to, 1967.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. More music. Be back with more information as well. This is Monday Night Madness. I'm WB, and this gentleman here to my left is
the professor of pop culture.
That's him. All right.
We're going to talk about why we're playing these songs first before we get into the record.
Okay. Diana Ross. Muscles. That album, Silk Electric.
Oh,
care.
Here we go.
Oh, we just got this party started.
When I saw him in concert, it was an explosion here.
Wow.
Fireworks went off.
Never had the pleasure of seeing him in person. No, I haven't. I was just only a fan from a distance, right? Always have been a Michael Jackson fan, even from the very beginning when it was the Jackson 5. Even before then.
Yes, me too. Me
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Now, that was from that Thriller.
That was cut.
25 Super Edition.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what I'm holding in my hand right now?
Well, no, you have, yes, Thriller 25. Yes.
Let me turn on my,
cut number one. Yes. Side one.
Let me turn on my camera right here for the audience. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I got this. I bought it in Vegas.
Okay.
1 year back in 2014.
Uh-huh.
2014, 2015, something like that. There it is right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Just
never been
incredible.
Out of the cover. The
good.
No, oh, absolutely.
And you want to keep it that way.
Oh, I will. I will.
Yes.
And then also in my little trusty fingers right here, I have also the Bad album here in vinyl. And you know, hey, you know the weirdest thing about this?
What's that?
I don't have a turntable. I don't care. it doesn't matter. They'll never come out the covers, right?
Okay.
And this is it.
Yeah.
I have this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. You okay? Can you see that? Put that in front of the camera.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
Man.
So yeah.
Huge Michael Jackson fan, like I said. Never had the opportunity of seeing him in person.
Mm-hmm.
However,
yes.
I did go to that show that was in Vegas after he passed, right? And it was at the Mandalay Bay.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what was the title of that? Was that the one?
It was Cirque du Soleil. Now, the one, the
no, it wasn't a circus,
It wasn't Cirque du Soleil?
It was.
Cirque du Soleil 1?
Nope. Oh, yes, okay. Yes, yes, absolutely. The title of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was held at the Mandalay Bay.
Yes, yeah. Now, you saw it at its home base. I saw the touring, production of it in Washington DC at the MCI Center, I think it was.
Okay.
And I think you got the better performance.
Oh man. Yeah. Let me tell you how good it was.
Yeah.
I saw it three times.
Wow. See, yeah, I didn't.
I saw it three times. It was absolutely incredible. And they had a hologram of Michael.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, so you saw the hologram. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
wow,
yes.
Man.
But the entire show, the performance, even though I saw it three times, they changed it just a little bit each time to keep your interest.
That's something.
It was a production like none other.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I have a red Michael Jackson jacket upstairs.
Wow. Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me tell you about that number. People just think it's a great song to dance to, and it is. But did you know, first off, that there's a recording of that song that existed as far back as 1978?
No.
Yes, it was meant. Now, get a load of this. There's two things that song was meant for. It was originally meant for Off the Wall. It was kept off of that album. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You heard that?
Yes, I most certainly did.
Okay.
Yes.
And it was also originally written for LaToya.
I didn't know that.
Yes. LaToya had, now you got to listen to the lyrics. LaToya had some problems with her sister-in-laws. Somebody, I don't know who, always wanted to be starting something. So observing this, he put the pen to paper, and there would you go. Now, the breakdown, fade out, what to say, makusa, that was taken from, Manu Dibango's, Sombakasa. It was taken. Mike is an interesting character, and throughout the night, we're gonna find out some, interesting things Mike did.
Like I said, I want to, like I asked in the opening, what is it we don't know about Mike?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was something else. Yeah, he took it. But the great thing was Dibango, he didn't make a scene about it or anything. There was legal action, but he changed his mind and decided to settle out of court for 1 million French francs.
Okay. Yeah. How much is that in American dollars?
Maybe a little over $1 million.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. All right. But good enough. So, Monday Night Madness. Hey. You get it here and here only, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I'm finding out some things. And I'm a huge, huge Michael Jackson fan. And some of these things I had no idea, Professor.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
This
yes.
one's written by Rod Temperton. Okay. Baby Be Mine.
It's off the Thriller album.
Passion burning in my heart today.
okay, we have to talk about this one afterwards.
All right.
Okay.
The girl is fine.
Every night she walks right in my dreams. Since I met her from the start, I'm so proud I am the only one who is special in her heart. The girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. I know she's mine. Because the doggone girl is mine.
I don't understand the way you think, saying that she's yours, not mine. Sending roses and your silly dreams, really just a waste of time. Because she's mine.
I'm her forever lover, you know, don't you remember?
Well, after loving me, she says she couldn't love another.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said it. You keep dreaming.
I don't believe it.
Mine, mine.
No, the girl is mine.
Mine,
no, mine. You're mine.
She mine, 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 mine.
The girl is mine. All right, the girl is mine. Mine, 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 mine. Before that was Baby Be Mine by Michael Jackson. Okay, Professor, you had something to say before that song.
This was the first song to be recorded for the album. And I think it's a day that will change world music history forever, although we won't hear any thing of it for nearly 9 months later. April 14th, 1982 at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time at Westlake Studios in Los Angeles, California. And this was right after spending a few days with Paul and Linda McCartney at their home in Arizona before coming to record this song. It was, you know, the first track. And this was the result of an ongoing friendship and cohesive recording partnership, because a year earlier, Jackson spent a great deal of time in Britain with the McCartneys, recording Pipes of Peace, with them. And as I mentioned earlier, he recorded Say, Say, Say and The Man. And he was there for a very long time. I always, not always, but I've mentioned before on a previous show, the British, trip. It changed his life. He was exposed to Tudor architecture, was captivated by it, that when he returned to Encino, he decided to renovate the entire Havenhurst estate in Tudor architecture that he saw in Britain. Yeah, so if you ever see the house, of course, we were there once at 4641 Havenhurst. Now let me explain. I stood at the gate, which is just all that I wanted to do. It was like, wow, I was there. Then I got back in the car. So it was so funny. Got back in the car, then we made a U-turn.
Uh-huh.
And then when went by the house again, the security guard was already out there. So they saw me through the camera.
Right.
Okay. By the time we got to the stoplight, turned the radio on, guess what was on? Man in the Mirror.
Amazing.
I mean, that I'm not going to go any further with that. Okay. But that was just wow. Okay. So it was that. Also, on that same trip, Paul, it was advising Michael on how to accumulate more wealth and suggested publishing. And that, with publishing, it is residual income and you do next to nothing. And when a song gets played, you get paid for it. And he showed him all the catalogs of all the songs that, he owned. And then that goes into a huge cultural war that people are still fighting to this day. I'm not going to go too far into it, but Jackson, because he was so inspired by what Paul opened the door and exposed them to, he said to him, I will one day buy your publishing. And he did not believe him. And he says, I will one day buy your publishing. And this goes on for the next couple of years. He keeps telling him, and it was not believed. And in 1985, Jackson bought Northern Songs, which creates a huge, not only did it spoil that friendship, but it created a cultural war. And you don't have to guess between who and who, I tell you.
Yeah.
But it was done ethically. It was done ethically because not only did he tell him he was going to do it, at the 11th hour, Jackson's lawyers went to McCartney's lawyers and gave him one final chance. We're going to get buy this catalog. If you don't want us to get it, we will step aside. And they said no, because they just did not believe that it was going to happen. But anyway, so okay. That's that. And then this also goes back to Muscles that you played earlier. When he was on the plane to head back to America, and he's sitting in the seat and he's waiting for, you know, the plane to take off, out of nowhere, and his head goes, dum, 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 and he's like, oh my God. And he had no pad or pen and no tape recorder. And he said he had to suffer on that plane trip. He had to just play that groove in his head over and over and over until he got back to California.
Absolutely.
And that is how Muscles happened. So there were a lot of things. Why did we start with Burn This Disco Out, the final song off of Off the Wall? Because Jackson was passed over for a nomination for Album of the Year, for the Grammy Album of the Year. He felt that Off the Wall deserved to win Album of the Year, and it didn't happen. And that drove him. That just infuriated him. In 1980, that same year, he wanted a cover story by Rolling Stone magazine. Rolling Stone told him that they will not give him a cover. And he, you know, complained that only white artists get covers. And he said, one day they're going to put me on the cover. And, of course, that happened. And all of that. There were a lot of things that occurred that a lot of people don't know about that happened between 1980 and 82. And all of those setbacks and things fueled him. And he told Quincy Jones and he told Bruce Seredian in the studio, this is going to be the biggest selling album in history. And the musicians, the staff, they all laughed at him.
Hey, guess what? And then he laughed all the way to the bank.
All the way to the bank.
Right back at you in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
Monday Night Madness, WBN, the Professor, Pop Culture, Thriller 40. We'll be right back.
midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Monday Night Madness, Studio W, Richmond, Los Angeles.
the greatest, Michael Jackson, Beat It. Also off of that Thriller album. As a matter of fact, that Thriller 25, super, oh my God. That one that I just showed you guys, the Super Deluxe Edition, is on there. Of course, it's on the original as well. Mm-hmm. But no question about it. Which one sold more, Thriller or Off the Wall?
Oh, come on. It was Thriller, man.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Of course it was. Because you had talked about the success of the Off the Wall album 3 years prior to that, which was a great, great album. There's no question about that. But Thriller, do you know how many copies it sold? It had to go platinum. I'm sure it did.
It was multi-platinum.
Multi-platinum.
I think we are now at over 100 million. Now I think we're over
good gracious, 100 million. Good gracious.
And you know this month's reissue, strategically planned right before Christmas, is going to add
off
it on.
The wall.
You know,
it's going to be off the wall through the roof.
Oh my god, you know it. Now with Beat It, it's just incredible stories with this one alone. You know, there's the knocking right before Eddie Van Halen's guitar solo. It's just some crazy stories I heard, like, just crazy, like, Van Halen was knocking on the door before he walked in and did the guitar solo, which makes no sense because you're talking not even 3 seconds between the knock and beginning the guitar solo. That doesn't make any sense. That's not true. There's also him knocking on his guitar. But if you read the credits for this song, there is a special credit. Drum case beater, Michael Jackson. That's him. He says hitting the drum case. That's what that is. Now, you've heard, I know you've heard, everyone has heard this. Van Halen's solo was so loud that the monitors, the speakers in the control room caught on fire, which got one of the studio staff to say, dang, this must going to be really good. This must really be good.
That's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Hey, let's get back to that, Beatles catalog that Michael purchased.
Yes.
If memory serves me correctly, I think when he bought that, he paid $40 million for it.
$47.5 million, yes.
And I'm saying, why would he do that? That's a ton of, a ton of money now, but it was even a, larger sum as far as, you know, today's value.
Why would he purchase it?
I said, wow, Mike, you gonna, on a Beatles, look, I was dead wrong because if I am correct now, that thing is worth over $500 million. I believe it's worth over $500 million now.
Yesterday, all over the world, the song Yesterday is played every minute.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point exactly. Uh-huh. And so I'm saying, wow, he made, 10 times what he paid for it.
Probably more than that.
More than that. Because he paid $48 million and it was worth over $500 million. And I remember reading something about that or hearing something. I just want you to correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah.
A few years ago. So who knows what it's worth now?
Yeah. And it got to the point in his latter years where there was a lot of toxicity and a lot of drama in his life that really having the catalog was causing more problems in his life.
Amazing.
Than him not having it. And I am a theater producer, theater director. We did a show a few years ago. It was a blues show called Blues Gal. And I did research on the copyright and the publishing because of the songs that we were using for that production. And while I was doing the research, I learned that Jackson was the second most powerful publisher in the world.
Wow.
Next to